It has been a heart-shaking event that happened to my family and me these past weeks. Last May 22nd, precisely on my birthday, my mother died at the age of 97. Then barely two months later, my eldest sister died from severe pneumonia due to the dreaded coronavirus. So on behalf of my family, thank you for all your prayers and cards you sent. And they show simply your love for me, and I'm so grateful for that. On the week my sister died, August 14 to be exact, and was cremated the following day, I decided not to attend church services that week. Because that was one of the days that you wanted to be alone by yourself. It just makes you think about life, how fleeting it is. That afternoon, when I got a call from my niece telling me her mother was in ER and subsequently transferred to ICU, I knew she was in grave danger. I said a brief prayer for God to be merciful to her. Yet, 2 hours later, I learned she has died. Fortunately, that day was my day off from work. So I just went to my room and sat down on my chair and looking at the window and see what a beautiful afternoon it was. I remember seeing a small bright red cardinal perched on the tree branches with the afternoon sun brightly shining on it against a green leaf. I watched it until it flew away. And for me, everything was so peaceful. Right there and then, I knew what message I would give to church today. And it is about life. Young people, especially those who are just beginning to have children today, like here, may perceive life quite differently from old people like me, I hope not so much. And look at life. Younger people look at life as a sunrise breaking forth in the morning on a bright new day. And it is a beautiful feeling of joy, happiness, and a wonderful anticipation of what life will bring with your wife or your husband beside you and your children all over you. And it's all for the taking. For older people, life is full of memories. Memories of a happy life once had. And for those who both are still together today, tries to continue living on them or reliving upon them when one is no longer with us today. So the subject of my message today comes from a song popularized in 1969 by Richard Harris entitled Fill the World with Love. I know some of the brethren here knows that. It is a poignant song about how young people should face life and the responsibility that it carries with it, regardless of color, race, or religion. It is a moving song about how older people should look at life that was and help face the inevitable with dignity and self-worth. So the song begins with this. In the morning of my life, I shall look at the sunrise, and the moment in my life when the world is new, and the blessing I shall ask is that God will grant me to be brave and strong and true. and to fill the world with love my whole life through. So for those who want to know the title of this split sermon, it is to be brave and strong and true. What does it mean to be brave and to be strong and to be true? The world today is heading its definition of value and morality down to the depths of hell. It has laid aside to the sewer what pursuit of character and excellence is, and it has forgotten and disregarded the sense of what is right and what is wrong. Many young people today regard right as what is convenient and acceptable to their peers, without checking the standards of what right is, based on the foundation of the Constitution of what made this country a great nation. More so, based on the foundation of how God defined what is right in the first place. The message pertains to all of us here. And the more I contemplate writing this message, the more it appears like it is pointing on me on a personal basis, on how I should perceive life to continue, and how I should face the end. What does it mean to be brave? Webster Dictionary defines brave as having or showing mental or moral strength to face danger, fear, or difficulty. It is a manifestation of showing courage. A soldier is said to be brave by walking alone in a road filled with landmines. And as he walked through a path, his fellow soldiers follow his footsteps for safety. Any mistake means sure death. And that is what it means to be brave. It focuses on one purpose and one purpose alone. It is for the benefit of another person, disregarding the self. It is not easy to send 4 children to college at the same time, with no resources, no property to sell, no substantial bank account. In the Philippines, there is no such thing as student loan. You have no money, you don't go to college. That was the reason why I engaged myself in scuba diving and became a part-time underwater cinematographer, because the pay is good. In one of my assignments, I had a close call. The shop calls for an underwater camera that was harnessed inside a bus by itself and remotely operated. It is supposed to be a scene looking at the windshield inside the driver's seat's point of view. The location was in one of the pier in the Philippines in the middle of the night. It was a night scene. My assignment was to retrieve the camera inside the bus after the director shouts, "Cut!" And once we heard that shout, my dive buddy and I rushed to the place where the bus was dropped. So the two of us started diving. I believe it was about 11 o'clock in the evening, p.m. The mud, the dirt, the muck were all over because of the plunge the bus made. As bright as my flashlight was, I can only barely see 6 inches away from me. But we continue diving, following the bubbles the bus made, and hit 70 feet down. We grope, of course, our way inside the bus, virtually blind. And as we cut and yank the camera out from its harness, we noticed the bus was shaking, and knew that any time the bus can topple downward into about 300 feet depth. into our sure debt. All the time, I was thinking about finishing the task, which means paying my children's next tuition payment. The camera was finally loosed and the harness, and we were able to exit in one of the windows of the bus. Hitting the surface, we saw all the film crew and production staff looking down on us from the pier platform and started clapping their hands after I made an okay sign and holding the camera on my other hand. I felt, forgive me the word, I don't know what other word I can mention, I felt stupid and proud at the same time for doing the task that would have cost my life. Yet I did it so that my children would have a brighter future, and I think I will do that again if need be. I am sure many fathers here will likewise do the same for their family. To be brave means to carry on the task with one purpose in mind, to finish the work placed upon our shoulder, regardless of what happens to us. When David was about to face the giant Goliath, we wonder what must have been in his mind. Preparing to confront Goliath, David began looking for 5 smooth stones as his weapon. Please turn with me to 1 Samuel 17, verse 40 for our first scripture. 1 Samuel 17, verse 40. It says in verse 40, "Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose himself 5 smooth stones from the brook, and put them in the shepherd's bag in a pouch, which he had, and his sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine." The question is, what was David's state of mind when he was looking for 5 smooth stones? It was evident in the following verses that he was in a prayer mode as he was picking up those stones into his pouch. When life seems to be on the line, David's state of mind was to be as close to God as he can. And we can see them in the way Psalm 23 was written. It tells us an exemplary attitude of David toward God whenever he was in harm's way. Psalm 23 verse 4, you need that to turn that, because everybody knows that. Psalm 23 verse 4, I'll just read here. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Facing a 9-footer giant with a large sword in his hand must have been a fearful sight to behold. Yet David remained undaunted because he knew what kind of war he was fighting for and who was behind him. For David, the single purpose of why he will face Goliath to death was to prove to the army of Israel that their God will never leave them. Continuing this 1 Samuel 17, verse 44, and we will read that in verse 44 of 1 Samuel 17. "And the Philistine said to David," that is Goliath, "said to David, 'Come to me, I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field.'" Then notice what David said to the Philistine. This was his frame of mind. "You come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day," verse 46, "this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistine to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth. And notice the following, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands. How I wish I could pray that way. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were about to be thrown to the fire furnace made by Nebuchadnezzar, they were not sure that God would save them alive. Please turn with me to the end of the verse of 15 of Daniel 3. Daniel 3, verse 15. We will see Nebuchadnezzar ask them a question. Daniel 3, verse 15. At the end of the verse 15, we will read, Nebuchadnezzar said, ask, and who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Verse 16 says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us from your hand, O king. Notice verse 18. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods, nor we will worship the gold image which you have set up. The three friends were not sure, actually sure, that they would come out alive in the fiery furnace the king has made. But nevertheless, they were resolved not to bow down to other gods except for their God, even though it will mean their lives. And we all know what happened afterwards. The three friends were saved. To be brave is to carry on, to pursue. Decided to finish the task that is before us, no matter what happens to us. To be brave is to face danger, to face fear or difficulty alone, believing that God will never leave us nor forsake us. Yes, brethren, Jesus Himself tells us that there will come a time when we will face persecution for the things of what we believe, and will require a high degree of bravery on our part. And we will find that in Matthew 10, verse 16. Matthew 10, verse 16. Jesus said here in verse 16 of Matthew 10, behold, I sent you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, verse 17, but beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. And you will be brought before governors and kings for my sake, as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. Verse 19, but when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Verse 21, now brother will deliver up brother to death, a father his child, and the children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved. Jesus beforehand tells us that there will be among God's people who will face persecution and death. I sincerely hope and pray that when that day comes, we all will find ourselves ready and be brave to meet whatever consequences of the choices we made as a people of God today. What does it mean to be strong. A lot of people today view being strong as energetic, muscular, rugged, or well-built person. Often, we see them in TV commercials, social media, with their physical appearance tending to attract the opposite sex, lifting self-esteem and confidence. However, being strong can also mean being tenacious, unyielding, steadfast, unmovable, to name a few. Today, there is a fast-growing platform where people can express their thoughts in an open expression called Thought Catalog. Thought Catalog. It is an outlet of choice of thousands of writers and artists, especially for the millennials, to showcase their work and everything. Thus, they are called by that name, Thought Catalog. One of the Thought Catalog publications was written by Ranaya Naim in November 27, 2017. And she wrote what it means to be strong. And I quote, "Being strong means you actually know what it's like to be weak, to feel helpless, and to feel like you're tired of life and its burden. Yet, you still wake up in the morning hoping for a better day. You still think positive about your future. You dig up what's left of your energy when you're drained. And you keep going because you know eventually things will change. And you know that things won't stay the same forever." Unquote. The description, this is a description of what it is to live in the society today. Hoping against hope that tomorrow will be a good day without thinking how it will be brought about in the future. As a people of God, we are not supposed to be locked in a world full of questions that many people find it hard to answer. The reason that is that we have the Word of God who gives us instruction written in the Bible how to live and giving us hope to comfort us in these times of difficulties. Please turn with me to Romans 15, verse 4. And we will see such comfort God has given us. Romans 15, verse 4. It says here in verse 4, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." To be strong is to remain steadfast and unmovable till the end of our lives. Apostle Paul tells us the danger of getting ourselves on departing from God through unbelief, which is entirely opposite of that of being strong. Please turn with me to Hebrews 3, verse 12. The warning Paul gave us, departing from God through unbelief. Hebrews 3, verse 12. "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened to deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end." What does it mean to be true? What does it mean to be true? To be true means devoid of any form of pretense. People who see us outwardly must see us what we are inside. Apostle James tells us what sort of person we ought to be. Please turn with me to James 3, verse 13 for that. James 3, verse 13. It says here in verse 13, "Who is wise and understanding among you, let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now, in verse 18, now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. To be true means to be faithful. Please turn with me to Hebrews 10, verse 23. Hebrews 10, verse 23, of what it means to be faithful. Verse 23, it says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Yes, forsaking ourselves in assembling together in God's appointed holy time and command like today is a form of test of our faithfulness to God. Yes, brethren, to be brave and strong and true is a measure we can look into ourselves how much character we have. To be brave is to carry on the task that is before us and to finish them. To be strong is to remain steadfast, unmovable of the hope we have written in the Bible. To be true is to remove any cloak of pretense and to remain faithful to God and to one another. As young church as we have here in Nashville congregation, you don't have to wait to get old before we ask ourselves those questions. The earlier and the more frequent we raise them, the more it will help straighten the path toward the goal we are looking forward to when our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. And to the older people like me, perhaps answering those questions will give us comfort each day we wake up in the morning, looking at it with thankfulness worth living another day. And as we approach the sunset of our lives, the question we will ask can best express in the music of Richard Harris as he ended his song. The end part of the song is, in the evening of my life, I shall look at the sunset. And the moment in my life when the night is due. And the question I will ask only God can answer. Was I brave and strong and true? Did I fill the world with love my whole life through? I believe, brethren, we can never enter eternity unless we have been brave, unless we have been strong, and we have been true. Happy Sabbath.